Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on AFR, American Family Radio. If you want to join us online, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. Should you want to send us an email, just go to comments@AFR.net. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and now Steve Jordahl, tag teams with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Top news story, I guess, still is the winter storm.
Well,
round number two.
It's coming. And people need to, they were already hunkering down a lot without power for days. This is not going well in many areas. Did you guys hear from Rick Perry on this?
I watched some of his interview on Sean Hannity's program.
Well, I want you to hear a little bit about what he says. This is his take on what might happen if we had 100% green energy and this were to happen. Let's listen to cut eight.
We've got to have an energy supply that is diverse, a base load that you know when you call on it, it's going to be there. That means that fossil fuels have to be a part of that. We've got to use, liquefied natural gas. Natural gas is abundant in this country. If we were in the AOC world, fast forward 10 years and everything is solar, everything is wind, and you have this type of event. And if you don't have power, there are countless lives that could be lost with this type of reckless adhering to a philosophy that, quite frankly, is not scientific.
We've seen across the
good
country
for him.
Wind turbines that are frozen shut. They're not working. And
good for him. That's former Governor Rick Perry of Texas, and he served in the Trump administration.
He's now a senator for Texas.
What was his role?
He was energy secretary.
Okay.
Yeah. He knows what he's talking about there on energy.
Yeah. And what he's, you know, just want to shake your head when you hear these far left green people, and I'm not talking Martians.
Yeah.
make these proclamations that they make that, 10 years from now, if America doesn't change over to all, quote, green energy, that we're all going to die because the planet's going to burn up. That's why Biden calls it
existential.
That word.
Yeah.
He calls it that, which means cease to exist threat. So they keep saying this, Steve, so they're scaring a lot of Americans. Rick Perry says it's not even science. A lot of what these green folks proclaim as settled science is not settled science, but they use it to scare Americans. Now, they're not talking about China and India and the rest of the world, who far, far, far worse polluters. And we're not even talking about pollution, really. We're talking about carbon emissions is what they want to cut out.
Plant food.
Right.
Huh? So, but what he's saying, what Rick Perry's saying, it is impossible with a capital I, maybe you cap the whole word, Walker, mm-hmm. and then Steve can comment, it is impossible for the United States to convert over to this, wind and solar, everybody charging their cars.
Yes.
That is a pipe dream if we want to maintain any kind of semblance of our lifestyle that we enjoy here in the country.
So, yes. Yeah, and not even lifestyle. We're getting down to bare essentials. You're talking about electricity and water. And he's right that there is physically no way to run a state like Texas or California, and we're seeing this with our own eyes. There's no way to run power for 5 to 10 million people with solar panels. There's no way to do it. There's literally no way to do it. So you have to have a diverse power supply that includes fossil fuels. And if you want to use wind farms, that's fine. But don't let that be your only source of power. And that's what they're learning in Texas. And yes, not all of the power outages are because of the wind farms, but at least 10 to 15% of their power outages, which gets into, if my math's right, between 500,000 and a million outages, are due to the wind turbines being frozen up with no backup plan.
Steve, you're up.
Oh, well, let me just give you an anecdotal evidence of why this is important. I live in a town that's a small town, and I believe it's had some power outages, and if not yet, it's coming. We were trying to figure out how to stock up. I was trying to figure out how to stock up in case we need to hunker down a bit. And it occurred to me, I don't really have to worry that much because I have gas heat, gas hot water, and gas stove, and a gas fireplace. I'm cooking with gas, literally, so I'm not going to have to worry about any of this. There's almost zero chance of the gas going out.
Tell me, guys, what energy resources do the green folks consider to be bad? If I could just put it in,
I think
kindergarten language.
From what I understand, any fossil fuel, which is coal.
So petroleum, or
coal.
What about natural gas?
Oil. And I don't know what their view of natural gas is.
Do you know, Steve?
If it's petroleum based or if it's carbon based, they don't like it.
They may view,
mention nuclear. They're firmly against that as well.
Yeah. So they don't want us filling up our cars with gasoline.
Correct.
They want us plugging in our cars.
And in fact, several of the car manufacturers have already said that within the next 10, 20 years, they're not going to be making combustion engines anymore.
What if everybody moves in that direction based on this fear of, this fear mongering that the left puts out on global warming, and it ends up being not true, and you end up having colossal failures across the country on basic necessities of life, like heating, like cool, like water, like. Like driving somewhere. We're going to have to stop every 200 miles and charge our car. And what do you do with all these batteries, by the way?
If you don't recycle them properly, it's actually very harmful for the environment.
That's what I'm saying.
If you just dump these batteries in the backyard.
Or landfills, even.
Yeah.
Right?
This has the potential, and we're already seeing it now, to be a disaster, widespread disaster. Because can you imagine if we have all electric vehicles, and then to your point, a storm like this comes through Texas and wipes out power to where not only can you not heat your house, but your car can't run either. You can't charge your car. Or we get some kind of solar flare that wipes out the electric boards that run the cars. I mean, relying all on batteries to run everything has the potential to be very, very bad.
Yeah. By the way, just breaking news, and I'm serious about this. Let's see. I'm going to go to Fox News. I've just been told. I don't want to report that if I don't know it's true. Somebody sent me a text saying Rush Limbaugh passed away. Have you seen that anywhere else?
I have not.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know if that's. I know he's very sick with stage 4 lung cancer. So,
Fox is
reporting
Fox is saying that now. It's not on their homepage yet, but
okay,
they're reporting that.
It's very, very sad. Rush Limbaugh, do you remember? That's one of the few radio broadcasts. By the way, this show right here, Today's Issues, we used to do 1 hour a day when we first started back in the early 90s. Marvin Sanders. Some of our listeners remember Marvin. Marvin passed away about 7-8 years ago. But Marvin and I would do the program, and we decided, well, what time do we want to do this every day? So we decided on 10 to 11 o'clock. You know the reason we decided to do that?
You didn't want to compete with Rush?
We knew a lot of our listeners would be switching over to Rush Limbaugh at 11 o'clock, and we didn't want to compete with Rush Limbaugh. So we set our show to be 10 to 11. It later expanded 10 to 11:30. But that's how much respect we had for Rush Limbaugh, because he was listened to by and adored by millions and millions of people, and rightly so. But I remember where I was, Steve, when I first heard Rush Limbaugh back in probably the mid-90s, I guess. Yeah. It was. Maybe the late 80s, I don't know. I was driving through Nashville. This is strange that I would remember this. I was driving through Nashville coming home from some trip, and I heard this guy on scanning the radio dial, and I heard this guy talking. I was going, wow, this guy's saying what I believe, and they're letting him say it. You know what I'm saying? I was a fan of his after that.
Is it fair to say he was the father of conservative talk radio?
It is.
Popularizing it, yes, as Steve says. People like Barry Farber, that may not mean a lot to folks. There were a handful of maybe folks, but Rush Limbaugh took it to a new stratosphere, and
he was probably there before even Fox News began.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Fox started in the '90s.
Yeah, yeah. He hails from Cape Girardeau, Missouri. That's where he grew up. His brother David is a friend of mine, not a close friend of mine, but is a friend of mine who's been on our program, David Limbaugh, who still lives in, he's an attorney, I think David is, in Cape Girardeau. And so it's being confirmed that Rush died.
Yeah.
Yeah. What age? Does it say what age he was?
He was 70.
70. Okay. So anyway, sad news to report there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Rush did, Steve, get the, was it the presidential?
The Medal of Freedom.
Yeah,
from last President Trump, yeah.
Yeah, and Rush knew his days were numbered. Well, all our days are numbered, but
yeah,
he knew that he wasn't going to live very much longer.
That was a moving moment there at President Trump's State of the Union. I think it was last year. It may have been 2019,
mm-hmm,
when he gave Rush Limbaugh that Medal of Freedom, right there. Melania gave it to him during the State of the Union speech.
Yes, yes. There'll never be another Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. There just won't be. There may be somebody to. Somebody will come in and be the largest conservative talk show host in America again. But there'll never be another Rush Limbaugh. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Well, the Biden administration continues to play with our language. You know, language is the very first thing, the very first stone to fall if you want to change a culture or change the facts of something or introduce something that's different. So as part of his immigration push, as well as making 11 million non-citizens, citizens, granting citizenship to 11 million aliens, he has just redefined in the Immigration and Nationality Act the term alien. No longer will it be alien. Now it is non-citizen. And for goodness sakes, don't use illegal alien. It is an undocumented non-citizen, which makes it sound a lot less dire when somebody's in our country illegally, but they're just undocumented.
Okay, this is the Biden administration changing it from what to what? Repeat that again.
They're changing the word alien to non-citizen.
Uh-huh.
The word illegal alien to undocumented individual. And asylee with asylum seeker.
What does undocumented mean?
It means they don't have any papers to be here. Like, they don't have a social security card. They don't have a green card. They don't have a work permit.
So it's illegal.
Yeah. It is illegal.
Yeah.
But we don't want to say illegal.
No.
Because
no person is illegal.
Undocumented.
Yeah, this is furthering the push and the move to make illegal immigrants or illegal border crossing sound more
innocuous,
mild, and not as much of an offense, or really no offense at all if you're a Democrat.
Well, a lot of the mainstream media today just call them migrants.
Yes.
Already. There's no reference to the illegality of their being here.
Well, right. There are many migrants that are here legally, but that does...
Well, we're all migrants here, hopefully legally, right?
This world is not my home. I'm just a...
My people migrated from the British Isles a couple of hundred years ago or so.
Yeah.
200-300 years ago. So we're all migrants.
Just whether we do it legally or illegally.
Yeah. Yep. But I'm documented.
Undocumented.
Please. No, I am documented. Are you undocumented?
No. I am documented.
Be careful. Steve doesn't need ICE.
Do you carry your documents with you? Can I see your documents?
I have my passport card with me.
Well, that's documents.
That's documents.
All right, so go.
I wanted to play, you know how between Don Lemon's show on CNN and Chris Cuomo, they usually banter? Well, yesterday it was about how the Republican Party went off the rails and what they're doing now. Of course, since the Capitol riots, there is nothing good about the right or the Republicans. But I want you to hear Don Lemon's take on the difference between the riots over the summer that literally destroyed cities and the Capitol riots. Listen to Cut 12.
And this whole weird thing that they keep saying, well, what about the riots and the demonstration that happened this summer? That's apples and oranges. First of all, the demonstrations, the protests, were for something that's real. It was for inequality. It was for police brutality. It was for all those things. It was people who were rising up for their rights. What happened at the Capitol was built on a lie.
There you go.
Walker, any thoughts on
Don
Lemon's comment?
They just proved what we've been saying here for a few months, and that is the left views destruction of property and rioting and looting as justified so long as it's for what they view as a righteous cause.
Right.
And so if some Trump supporters go into the Capitol and they shouldn't be there, then that's bad because not only are they trespassing, but their movement is illegitimate. But if you burn down cities in the name of a righteous cause, that what they view, then it's okay. It's acceptable.
I mean, you know, this is apples and oranges. If Don Lemon wants to talk about apples and oranges as well, and I'm not minimizing at all those intruders who went into the Capitol building on that day, January 6th, because it was unlawful and it was threatening. And it was only a very small percentage of the people who were at the Capitol actually went inside the Capitol. But they should get in trouble legally, and they will. They're being prosecuted. So I'm in no way defending that. But those people were basically just knuckleheads and got caught up in the heat of the moment and were not, the vast majority of them were only, if I can use the word, sightseeing. I mean, they were being a part of something many, many of them regret now. But they didn't take weapons into the White House, into the Capitol. They didn't start burning the Capitol down. They didn't start shooting cops and congressmen. You see what I'm saying here?
Right.
This whole thing needs to be put in perspective, okay? What those people did was wrong, but if it were a true insurrection, if it were a true coup, then these people would have gone in there was nothing stopping them from going in with guns.
Yeah, they would have went in, and they would have holed up and locked up the Capitol and not let anybody in.
With that many people, it would have been easy to do because the police were overwhelmed, the Capitol Police, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so all you can come up with, yes, there was one officer who died who died.
And that death is being questioned now.
Yes.
True.
I'm just saying we all know if that were a true insurrection coup, that number of people, and none of them started shooting.
Right.
None of them started, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and this, if you're going to use the word insurrection on what happened on January 6th, then what happens a few years ago when leftists went in the House office building in the rotunda there, and they were protesting, I think it was either about Obamacare.
Kavanaugh, I know, one time.
And it was on Kavanaugh. And there were hundreds of people trespassing into one of the office buildings, and they wouldn't leave. Police wouldn't make them leave. They wouldn't leave. So if what happened at the Capitol is an insurrection, then so what happened a couple years ago in the House office building is too.
Yeah. What I'm saying is the Democrats and the liberal media are making this out to be worse than it was. That's my point. And they're talking about it day after day after day. When, as Steve pointed out, you had big cities in this country still to this day have boarded up blocks and blocks and blocks. Minneapolis has like 6 blocks. It's still burnt down, destroyed.
Yeah.
And the liberal media passes this off as acceptable because of the cause that it represented.
Well, don't worry. Most of those boarded up shops are minority owned, but those minorities had a good, they've been spoken for, so I'm sure they're feeling okay.
Yeah, and what did that help? All the destruction, looting, burning, defund the police, all that stuff that went on last summer.
My feelings feel better.
Huh? What did that help? Now Minneapolis is going, wait a minute, we need more police officers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nutty stuff and counterproductive. Go ahead. And Chris Cuomo goes on and says systemic racism, right. Which is not even true. Go ahead.
All right. Let's end this way. You know the NBA coach, veteran coach Jerry Stackhouse? He decided to go. He was hired by Vanderbilt, the Commodores, but it appears he ran into a brick house with his coaching because he has a record of 16-31 overall and 4-23 in Southeastern Conference games. Guess who he's blaming? Well, you know, because I told you, he's blaming Trump supporters.
Huh?
He's blaming Trump supporters.
Insert Scooby-Doo.
Huh? He said fans who are stupid enough to vote for Donald Trump are not qualified to question his coaching techniques. He brags that he has the most diverse coaching staff in the world. You know, he's got a woman who's an assistant coach. He's got blacks on the there.
No, he didn't say that. Did he say that?
He did. His quote, one of the quotes is, all I can say is 75 million people voted for Trump. That's all I can say. You ain't fooling me. I know what it's about. A lot of you hate everything we did when it came here about the staff, the diversity of the staff. It was this or that. And I like to think I know a little something about building teams.
You know, we wondered what Trump haters would do when he was not in the Oval Office anymore.
They continue to
now
hate Trump.
College basketball coaches are blaming him for losing seasons. That's unbelievable.
I'm surprised they haven't blamed this weather on him.
They will. Huh? The Trump storm.
Yeah.
It's hitting red states, and they deserve it.
Huh? Because they didn't wear their mask.
So they didn't wear their mask, and they voted for Trump. Good night. Oh, man. I thought Jerry Stackhouse was smarter than that. Vanderbilt head men's coach is blaming Trump for his losing season and Trump voters.
Yep.
Right? All right. Well, see you tomorrow, folks. Have a good afternoon.